commentary. Heard each morning before the 7:30 news on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU. Here's Chris Conley.
Income inequality will be the issue of the day. It's expected to be the driving theme of President Obama's State of the Union address this month. He'll build on the groundwork that Occupy Wall Street and the fast food protesters have laid. You will hear repeatedly that the rich are getting richer and that the poor are getting poorer. The wealth gap has never been wider. Now, whether this is true or not is unclear, since people's incomes tend to swing wildly during their lifetime. IRS data suggests the typical American will be in three tax brackets during their lifetimes, which suggests a great deal of income mobility, both upward and downward. My unanswered question about income equality is, so what? In almost every job I've held, I've worked for someone who's been rich. As I've built a radio audience and attracted more listeners, they have become richer. My expectation is that I'll be rewarded out of some of the excess that flows to my employer. But make no mistake about it, the system is set up so that ownership captures the lion's share of growth. My expectation is only to get some of what I helped to create. And as I have greater and greater success, truth is the gap between what ownership gets and what I get will grow wider, not narrower. And that's as it should be. A worker isn't a partner with the owner. They're a laborer. They don't bear any of the huge expenses and risks of starting up or operating a business. The person who takes the risk and puts up the capital deserves the biggest reward, even if it turns them from a millionaire into a multimillionaire. Only once in my career did I work for ownership whose competence was in question. This was a publicly traded broadcast company. Their stock, which I bought through an employee purchase plan, fell from $18 to $2 a share. And I grumbled when the CEO got a performance bonus from the board of directors in the form of a multi-million dollar stock option. But even that is self-correcting. That same CEO costs him a fortune if he can't get the stock price back up. And if it's still stuck at $2, he'll be forced out soon enough. Pat Buchanan made an interesting observation about income inequality. As one of Richard Nixon's speechwriters, he got to travel to China in 1972. China had almost perfect income equality back then. Everyone had nothing. People rode their bicycles to work. They wore the dark blue Chairman Mao jackets with their little red books in the vest pocket. Compare that to the China of today. There are new millionaires with sports cars, a growing middle class in upscale housing and with a consumer-based lifestyle, and there are still others with very little money wearing their blue jackets and pedaling to work. A byproduct of China's tremendous growth has been a tremendous increase in inequality. I'd like to hear the comprehensive argument against income inequality. If there's a concern about the moneyed class dominating the political process, not really. It's still the common man, the poorer people, who get to go to the polls and cast ballots. I'm suspicious that there are two things that are driving this debate, envy and jealousy. The person I work for has a bigger home and a nicer car, and time spent on those observations is better spent thinking about how to make yourself more successful. Base emotions won't change the income gap, and they're likely to lead to bad political policy, too.